All right, we are here for the next Molach and Hilchshavas Chabura, where today we're going to be dealing with Dash. Quick chazara of last week, we wanted to go over Ma'amer. Ma'amer is a very, very short Molach, the Molach of gathering up into a bundle. So what exactly, Zach asked five questions, what exactly is the definition of Ma'amer? You want to take a stab? Yes, gathering into a bundle or into a kli. Two different definitions, basically creating a guf echad. The way Ramon had defined it was that what you're essentially doing is it's the last step, or what we're going to see today, one of the last steps of the harvesting process. It becomes basically useless if you harvest, let's say, wheat and it just falls on the ground. So it's important to get put into a bundle, but you're not actually affecting the item itself, you're just putting it into a bundle. What is the machlokes? It's Rishon, question number two, about whether or not it applies to gidulei karka. No, it's kind of simple. Yes, it does, or no, it doesn't. The Gemara had a question about, no, it wasn't about fish, that was a different one, that was coats there. The question was about salt, harvesting salt or bundling salt from dehydrated salt water. Would that be considered ma'amir or not? The Rambam paskined that is midaraisa, that ma'amir is only with kidulei karka, and that was codified in the Shulchan Aruch. Question number three, what are the qualifications? Assuming what are the conditions you need that you need in order to actually be over on the malacha of ma'amer. So you said number one, kidulei karka. Number two, gathering from the thing's place of growth. So maybe like a chicken coop would be derabanan, because not kidulei karka, but it's a place of growth, field or an orchard underneath the tree would all be examples of place of growth. And finally, things before they've been processed. That's why you're allowed to like gather up a sheaf of papers. Paper is technically kidulei karka. It's technically trees and paper, trees, but since it's already been processed, ma'amer no longer applies. So those are the three qualifications. Number four, if a bowl of fruits spill all around my house, can I gather them together? We said it depends on
how you do it.
What was the, in terms of like the case, what does the case going to look like?
You would have to like sweep them all into like
one. Good. If they're spread throughout the house far enough that it's going to be a problem, like you're actually like going after them to find them, then you would not be allowed to put them in a cleat directly. You would have to sweep them into one room. Once they're in one room, then it would not be a problem to gather them together based on a three-way machlokas we've shown him about applying with Saramanan. Okay, that was question number five. If yes, if it is a problem, how and why? Great question. Thank you very much, Zach. Moving on to the malacha of Dash. This one's a lot more relevant than Ma'amir was. Somebody able to write up questions for Dash tonight hopefully by the end of this week?
Sure.
Okay, Gabby. Gabby's going to write up questions. So the definition of Dash, translated into English, is threshing. Nobody actually knows what threshing is. So last, I think I spoke about this last year, we went to a Hilchot Shabbos farm, like a Hilchot Shabbos kibbutz, and they demonstrated all these different malachos for us. It was very, very cool. Well, that would be fantastic. If we make it all the way to the end, then that's a great idea. It was really, really cool. Maybe they actually mainly did Sidur the Pas. So maybe when we finish Sidur the Pas, we can go out there. So what is threshing? So you've already done your harvesting, you've done your planting, you've done your harvesting, you've put it into a bundle, you've got it into a bundle. So the final step really to get your seed, and you're going to move on to a different stage of the processing, is you need to break through the tiny little, it's called the klipa, you need to break through the husk and get that seed out. So it would be incredibly, mind-numbing to just go like seed by seed, husk by husk, and peel it that way. So the way it's done is you throw this all out on the floor in one specific area, very clean, as clean as possible. You're in the middle of the farm. Like as clean as possible, you throw it all on the floor, and you use pressure to break down the husk and expose the seeds. The way that it's done, you have a few different ways. You can use a really big, heavy stick and just like smack it a bunch of times. You can use a whip, like a heavy leather whip. To break it down, what's generally done, and I have a video still of Avram really enjoying this, they put down a sled, they attach the sled to a horse or a donkey, and they just pull it around in a circle. And this heavy sled applies the pressure and breaks down the husk. So last year when we went, Avraham and another one of the Gris kids just like got to sit on the sled and got pulled around and around in a circle by this horse, and there's a huge smile on his face. It's very, very cute. So that's...
What the horse poops while it's doing that?
Oh, that's a rough time. I don't know, it's above my pay grade. It didn't happen the one time that I got to witness it.
They don't feed it like 3 days.
Because you gotta prep. So that's threshing. You're removing the seed. You're removing the part that you want. You can call maybe the ochel from the husk, which you may call psoles. Now, when I put it that way, oh my gosh, that's literally the definition of borer. So the big question that everybody deals with is, how is dush different than borer? They seem very, very similar. Are there any differences that come to mind? What's the classic case of Borer, something which you would encounter if you're dealing with Borer?
Like You're doing it like by hand.
You could.
No, but
that's generally true. You can use a cleave for Borer. This is one of the Isurim. One of the ways you can't do Borer is with a cleave. So it's not exclusively by hand.
The whole thing about taking it from the Kleefa as opposed to... yes. Your question is different.
Dash versus Borer.
So that's like a bigger scale.
Yes, that's definitely part of it. So Rabbi Mohan drew the distinction. This is, I think, from the Eglei Tal. The first one to make this distinction is that dush is generally done as the final step in production in the field, whereas borer is something that's done to like right before you eat it. So you're usually doing it on a much smaller. You're usually doing borer on a much smaller scale. Meaning, I want to eat one sunflower seed, so I'm going to crack open the shell and get it out. I want to eat this one piece of fish, so I'm going to pull off the bones or whatever it is. Yes. Fish and bones, chicken and bones is a borer problem. We'll hopefully get there. Whereas dush is done as part of processing for storage, processing for selling. So you're doing that in the field, whereas borer is generally done in the home or right before actually eating it. That's the difference. We're going to talk about that a little bit more. In the process of the melachos, after you finally get the seed, you would follow that up with zoret. Right now you have a huge mix of seeds and chaff and the broken down husks lying on the ground, so you would take a pitchfork and throw it all up in the air. Hopefully wind would come by, blow away all the light, airy husks, and you'd be left with the seeds. Those seeds would fall onto the ground and mix with dirt, pebbles, stones, whatever, and you'd have to do borer to pick out those seeds. The seeds you're getting are the final product before grinding them and making them into dough. Okay, great. So we have a few different definitions, exactly like what is dush. We're going to get to our final picture definition. But it's important to know, like, what are the different ways the Rishonim take it? Rabbeinu Hananel says that dush is removing connected psoles, while borer is removing disconnected psoles. He's already trying to deal with that issue. Connected versus disconnected. So your husk, the seed is connected to the husk, you break it down, and you expose it that way. Rashi, instead of talking about connected versus disconnected, Rashi just says that dush is removing hidden food from its makom gizulo. Fits very nicely with milking. Milking, as the Gemara says, is a tolda of dush called mefarik. Mefarik is a tolda of dush. With Rashi's definition, it fits very, very nicely. The milk is hidden inside the cow's udders, and what you're doing is you're uncovering that milk. So that fits nicely with Rashi's explanation of what the malacha itself is. Problem with that definition is, like, does that mean I can't peel a banana? Yeah. Like, peeling bananas is probably mutter. Can I peel an egg? I hope that's mutter. I do it all the time. So, according to Rashi's definition, both of those should be problems, so we're going to try to sharpen it a little bit more. So, a potential difference between the malach of dush and what's mutter, we spoke about borer, is creating food versus fixing or preparing the food. Right? Is this the final step in creating the food? We know that that planting, harvesting, a little bit of ma'amir, those are all part of creating or getting to the final product of the food itself, whereas, let's say, lush, creating the dough, tochein, grinding the seed, that's all part of fixing or preparing it for the finished product. So which one is dush? Our presentation is that dush is more preparatory than creative. Oh, sorry, more creative than preparatory. The same way, it's the final step of the planting, harvesting, ma'amir kind of section of these 11 malafos. Dush is creative, while borer is preparatory. Cool. The Ran adds one more, I guess, point to this, that you're going to be over on dush when you disconnect a date from a cluster. That would make eating grapes a big problem, so you have to figure out what the distinction is there. The Ran says, the Ran says that taking a date from a cluster is an issue of dush, which definitely sounds a lot more like Rabbeinu Hananel than Rashi. But then you'd have to figure out, why is that different than eating grapes? Grapes come on the stems, and I just pick them off. Why is that? Would that be a problem, according to the Ran? Pasha says no. We have to figure out why. So the big difference between the grapes and dates is that dates are normally picked in the field and sold individually, whereas grapes, as you know, when you go to the supermarket, you're getting grapes still on the cluster. So like we said, the difference between a field malacha and a home malacha, the grapes, the dates, are done in the field. That's why it's dush. Grapes are usually done right before eating. That's why it's not dush. We have to figure out about borer, but it's not going to be an issue of dush.
Is there like a low swim there? If we had a date back to home,
so for individual cases, no. We're going to talk about what happens if, like, the method of production changes. This is going to be one of our first practical examples. Okay. Good. So now we know what exactly is dush. Either disconnecting or revealing food from its makom gidulo, right, from the place of its growth, in a way which creates the food, or in a way which is generally done in the field as part of processing, rather than at home as part of eating. Just one more time, the summary, what exactly is dash, what's the definition? Disconnecting or revealing, uncovering food from its makom gidulo, from its place of growth, in a way which creates the food, we said creative versus preparatory, or in a way which is generally done in the field as part of processing, rather than at home as part of, as preparation for eating. So what are our practical examples of the malacha of dash? Number one, sunflower seed. This has come up for me definitely when I was in Israel, probably on Shmuel Shabbos, and since then pretty often. Sunflower seeds, are you allowed to crack open sunflower seeds in order to get at the seed inside? So what would we say based on your definition?
Yes, you
can. Can or cannot?
I think
you can. Well, okay, good. So when it comes back to that, is it field work or is it homework? Homework. If it's field work, then it's going to be a problem. If it's things that you do at home, then it's not going to be an issue of dash. We're going to have to talk about borer. So sunflower seeds presumably are sold shelled. Their final stage happens before you get them out of the shells. And therefore, it's going to be mutter to remove samuch lesuda, right before the meal. Samuch lesuda is a borer term. There's no issue of dash here, but the need for samuch lesuda, doing it right before you actually eat those seeds, is to solve the borer problem. Keep in mind, though, this is something you spoke about last year. Keep in mind that the shell becomes mukta after you remove the seed. So when you put it down on the table, that's the last thing you should be doing with it until you're ready to. If your table you feel is disgusting because there's so many seeds on it, then you would have the heter of graf shell re'i. But otherwise, that shell does become mukta. So keep that in mind before you put it down. Yeah.
If you're like walking around and you put it, are you looking for the seeds in a cup after, like, where do you, like, hold in the cup?
I mean, you can take it out of your mouth, and then once you put it down, then it's no longer, you can't really carry it anymore. So if you're putting it down into a cup, then you carry the cup.
You don't want to, like,
throw biodegradable refuse on the ground. Carrying the cup, which is full of mukta.
Throw away, yeah.
That's
it. You not throw away, just take it out and carry the cup?
You mean, like, you can say, I'm on my way to throw out this cup while I'm filling it with more and more garbage? So you have the heter of graf shel re'i. Interesting question. I don't know. Sorry. Okay, the next one is peanuts. How would you buy, this is actually the Matthias question, how would you buy a bag of peanuts nowadays? You go to the store and you're buying a bag of peanuts.
De-shelled.
What are you buying?
Usually
they're de-shelled.
De-shelled.
Okay, when's the only Matthias where you'd actually be buying a bag of unshelled peanuts?
Baseball games.
Literally, like, the only place you can buy a bag of unshelled peanuts. So apparently, in the past, back in the day, peanuts were always sold in the shells, meaning still pre-shelled. So that would mean that, what would that make, shelling the peanut? Is that a field work or homework?
Homework.
That would make it homework, in which case, shelling a peanut would actually be totally fine, or it's not an issue of dash. Chaz Mish brings that down. Problem is, nowadays, it's generally sold shelled. So somehow, I don't know, shelled meaning it's already been taken out of the shell. Yeah. So if it's generally sold out of the shell nowadays, and you somehow, let's say you went to a baseball game the previous day, you brought home a bag of unshelled peanuts, now it's Shabbos, are you allowed to crack open those shells in your house? So Ramon thought that based on the matzias nowadays, it actually becomes part of the processing. Once it's part of processing, that makes it melachas sadeh, not melachas beso, which would bring it back into the issue of dash. That's the psak of the shoot shaved lady. Ramon thought you should be machmir based on this matzias, seeing as you can't really find peanuts sold in shells. There's a possible response. You could say back that normal processing is to sell them. It's still in the shell, and it's just because people are lazy and they don't want to have to work to get to their peanuts that they're sold shelled. But still, normal processing is the same way it used to be. Normal processing is to stop before actually taking out of the shell and to sell them inside the shell. Nobody would say that cubed pineapple, right? You can buy cubed pineapple in kosher grocery stores, or any fruits, whatever it is. Nobody's going to say that now it's the normal derech of production is to get your fruits already sold just because some people are lazy and can't peel or cut their own pineapples. That'd be ridiculous. So maybe you can say the same thing for peanuts, and that would give you the heter back of if you somehow came across an unshelled, meaning still in the shell peanut, you would be allowed to open it. But again, Ramon thought, kedai l'hachmir. Even if you are machmir, like Ramon, You are still allowed to open each shell one by one, and then without using the kli, it's a gemara based on the gemara in Beisa, Yud Gimel and Beis. You would this a shino gadol kalachar yad. You would still be allowed to get at the peanuts that way. Just you wouldn't be able to do them large scale, cracking open a bunch of ones. Okay, next thing, squeezing fruits is one of the huge topics which come up by Dush. This is the told of schita, of squeezing out the juices inside. This comes up all the time. If you ever have grapefruit as an appetizer, in my family, we would alternate basically between gefilte fish and grapefruit for appetizers on Shabbos. If you want to make lemonade on Shabbos, if you want to make orange juice, this story is going to scar you forever. But either Rosh Hashanah or Sukkot, my parents are the only ones who actually listen to these recordings, aside from you guys, so they're going to get a kick out of the story, and hopefully they'll correct me. Either Rosh Hashanah or Sukkot one year, my mother had came across this great, great chat. You can buy a pomegranate, roll it on the table, right? The big problem with pomegranates is it's so difficult to open them and get out the seeds, and it's such a hassle, you stain your shirt, whatever. So here's the best chop you've ever heard in your life, and you're never going to try once you hear the story. You take a pomegranate, you roll it on the table, applying with a lot of pressure. What that's supposed to do is it breaks down the tiny red seeds inside. You know what those are called?
Seeds?
No, there's a special word for them. It's something, there's a special word for them. Which I don't remember right now. It's not worth looking it up. So it's supposed to break those down and just all the juice collects inside the pomegranate, and then you take a heavy-duty straw, stick it into the middle, and you just drink.
No.
And you get delicious, fresh pomegranate juice with no mess, no stain, no problems. It sounded like an incredible idea. So my mother bought a couple of pomegranates. We were going to do this, whichever chag it was. And we do the first one. We roll it on the table. We're so excited. This is going to be great. We'll pass around the straw. Everyone will have a sip. And it just totally doesn't work. It's totally failed. There's no juice came out. We were a little bummed. And we had bought two. So we decided we're not even going to waste our time on the second one. We'll just have to go through the hassle of cutting it and pulling out the seeds. So we pull out a knife from the table. We open up the second pomegranate. And it was disgustingly black. The entire inside was rotten. It was gross. So we're like, wait a minute. If the second pomegranate that we opened is black and disgusting, what about the one that we just rolled on the table without looking inside? Is that also black and disgusting? Were we going to eat disgusting black rotten pomegranate juice? So I think we cut that one open and it was fine. But that was a real, real scare. So you will never try that unless you actually see what's going on inside this pomegranate. But hey, would you be, if you were a risky, daring type of person, would you be allowed to try this pomegranate stick on Shabbos? Would that be a problem with schita? Squeezing fruits. So the Gemara in Shabbos, Kuf Mem Gimel Veiz, brings down the Yisr. He called it, again, mifarik, we mentioned by milking a cow, mifarik, which is a tolda of dush. Anytime you're removing something from its makom bidulo, it's going to be a problem of dush. This is not exactly the same as wheat, right? You're a kernel of wheat, a kernel of barley. That's taking it from the stalk, taking it out of psoles, taking ochel out of psoles. It's not exactly the same, but it's along the same lines. So what's the deal? So the Gemara has three different levels. Grapes and olives is considered the tolda de'oraita, meaning initially de'oraita based on the tolda of mefarik. Berries and pomegranates, the Gemara says, tutum and rimonim, are an usher midrabanan. Usher midrabanan because it's normal for people to squeeze these specific fruits for their juices.
What was the middle one?
Berries and pomegranates. So that's going to be usher midrabanan. And then other fruits are mutar l'chachila. Who ever heard of squeezing other fruits aside from berries and pomegranates? That's such a weird thing to do. So it would be mutar l'chachila. We have our three groups. Why would grapes and olives have a special status? Okay, part of it is shivas aminim. What else? I guess the question to ask, is it objective or subjective? Are grapes and olives subjectively more squeezed? They're more normal to squeeze, obviously, grape juice, wine, and olive oil. So they're the most normal things to squeeze, and therefore they were bumped up to the de'oraita, to the actual tolda. Or is it, that would be subjective, people happen to squeeze them often. Or is it objective, they have some sort of a special status? Maybe the shivas aminim would contribute to that. Trumas and maestros might contribute to that. The Torah specifies tira shviyitzar, which is grapes and olives, or grape juice and olive oil, as having trumas mushes de'oraita, and some people think it's really only grapes and olives have trumas mushes de'oraita in addition to grain. We know that there's a special bracha, at least for grape juice, because it's such a chashuv product. So maybe it's more of an objective thing. It happens to be that grapes and olives just have a special status in life, in Jewish life, in halacha, and that's why they were bumped up to the de'oraita. What's the nafkamina of that question? Very good. If it can change. So now, what's normal to make? What's the most normal fruit that you make juice out of?
Apple.
Seriously? Okay, possibly. Oh, I would have put that in like the three. If we were like playing Family Feud, is that right? So the five things?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If we were playing Family Feud, that would be like my three or four.
Yeah, yeah.
Orange juice would probably
orange,
be
lemon,
first.
Apple.
Yeah. So that would be orange juice, lemon juice, apple juice, and then pomegranate
juice.
I use
apple juice is very common.
For
a few years, make apple juice.
Okay, that's probably accurate. That's probably accurate. Fine, let's say it that way. It's a tie for the second spot. Same number of points.
That
so we have
more
orange juice, apple juice, lemon juice, and whatever else. The other pomegranate juice is definitely up there, and then the random one. So, again, we only have to put up grape juice, too. So, can this status change? If you say yes, that means that the same way there's a Nisr D'oraisa Mishum Tolda Mefarik, the Tolda known as Mefarik, for grape juice and olive juice in the time of the Gemara, then our apple juice, and squeezing an apple, squeezing an orange, maybe grapefruit, anything like that, things which are normal to squeeze, would be bumped up into that D'oraisa. That's going to be a huge problem. If it's more objective, then grapes and olives would keep their status. Maybe you can level it up to the derabanan of berries and pomegranates normally squeezed, and these other fruits are normally squeezed now also, as opposed to being heter gomer, but it wouldn't make it into the derisa. So that's an interesting question. Rashi says it's because it's normal, it's the subjective idea, whereas the Ran says the objective idea. The Rashi says subjective, the Ran says objective. So what are we going to do in terms of stack? Right, Rashi is going to say our fruits are Nisr D'oraisa nowadays, the Ran is going to say it's still not a D'oraisa. At the very, very least, it's going to be a Nisr D'rabbanan, like we said, for any fruits which are normally squeezed, right? Our oranges, our apples, and our grapefruits, all those things. Even fruits which are generally not squeezed, maybe a little bit of a question, I don't need to go into that. Fine. So at the very least, this is Darabanan, avoid squeezing oranges, avoid squeezing those grapefruits and the lemons. We're going to talk about lemons right now. Yeah.
What was the relationship between like this Mahari and Shrita? What was that?
The Shrita is just like what you're doing is the action. Mahari could be named for the Tolda.
No.
I don't think it's known as the Tolda. No, Shrita is not enough. The Avos Dash, the Tolda in the Gemara is Mefarik, and there are a couple of things which fit into the category of Mefarik.
So like the ringing out of like a thing, is that different?
Kvita, which is Mishum Mefarik.
Dash?
Which is the Mefarik, which is the Tolda of Dash, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, ringing out a towel or something may be different, that may be Melabin, which I think is a different Melacha. That's not within Siddur D'Pas, that's down the line. But I think we cross-referenced both references. What?
And then we said that anything else that weren't the olive, grapes, berries, or pomegranates were mother, no?
Yeah, it was not in the Gemara, yeah? But nowadays, it's unclear. It could be
those common...
Those are Rasa Darabon because they're common, and there are a lot more things that are common now, so they're at very least made it to the status of the Darabonon. Things like the oranges and the apples and the grapefruits, those are at least the Darabonon, and potentially maybe even make them to the Darabon because they're so commonly squeezed. As opposed to the berries and pomegranates, which are not as common.
Well, the one who holds the Tolda D'oraisa is subjective. But
right.
You just say, no, you're just having a qualitatively subjective difference between the Nisr D'rabbanan and the D'oraisa.
How common. Exactly. So lemons is its own, it's the whole story. We have till 25, right? Yes, we're good. Lemons. So it seems like squeezing out lemons should be us, just like we spoke about. Problem is there's a shoot harush. The rush himself, I think, says that it's usher, but the shoot harush, or maybe the rush itself doesn't talk about it. The shoot harush says that lemons were squeezed on Shabbos, explaining that they're usually squeezed for ochel rather than mashke. It's like, why does that matter? How do we have this out there? He says they were squeezed in Mitzrayim. It was well known that people would squeeze lemons. I guess they were making lemon juice. They were making, I don't know what they were doing. How could it be that squeezing out lemons is mutter based on everything that we said? So the Beis Yosef brings two svaras. He says, number one, maybe it's only usher when the juice is drunk alone. Maybe the whole isser of mefarik is only when you're squeezing out, let's say, an orange so you can drink orange juice. But who's drinking lemon juice straight? That's disgusting. If you do, you should stop. You're ruining your insides. So no one's going to drink lemon juice straight. It's too bitter. So that's why it's not really mefarik. In fact, instead of calling it a mashka, maybe you would just call it a tamlin. What it's doing is it's enhancing the taste of other foods or other things, and that's why we're not even going to call it a mashka, we'll call it a tablin. That would mean that you would be allowed to squeeze lemons nowadays, because again, still, nobody drinks straight lemon juice. But basically, this other svara is that maybe it's only usher when it's put into a kli on its own. But if you never squeeze the fruit directly into its own kli, it's always put into some other mixture, then it would be okay. So if you take that svara, have you ever bought lemon juice in a bottle?
Yeah.
Yes, so it's definitely done nowadays. That would be a problem. Since we do sell bottles of straight lemon juice, that would mean that the Beis Yosef's second svara does not apply. But the Beis Yosef's first svara, nobody's ever drinking it alone. It's always mixed into other liquids. It's always mixed into other things to enhance taste, whatever. Then that would be, therefore it's okay. So we have to figure out which svara are we going with. The big mouth. Sorry? The second one, yeah. The second one was maybe the issue of issue of dush is only when it's squeezed into its own container. If it's never squeezed into its own container, which he was saying, that's what they did with the lemon in Mitzrayim, then it would not be an issue of dush. The problem is nowadays, we do squeeze lemons into their own containers. So, what do we do? It's big machlokes medina, how we hold. Do we hold a reason number one or reason number two? Shulchan Aruch just says mutter, but he doesn't explain which reason. And like we said, it does not mean medina if it's because of reason number one or reason number two. So, lemaisa, most Ashkenazim and Sephardim assume that we're not allowed to squeeze lemons nowadays because of reason number two. So the Rav Ovadia paskin like reason number one. So there are some Sephardim who know to squeeze out lemons because of the Sephardim, because of Rav Ovadia. But I guess so. If you do see somebody squeezing out a lemon, especially a Sephardi, they do have what to rely on. You should be aware. But in general, in terms of common practice, it's not something that we generally do. Yeah.
That shita mishuta rush, that's the kula, that's like helping out lemons.
Yeah, he said that we know that lemons were squeezed, and the question was like, how? What was the heter? And they also tried to figure out what exactly the svara was. But he just recorded lemons were definitely squeezed on Shabbos, and we have to figure out what the reason was. Right, so normal baseline stock is that we don't squeeze out lemons because of this chashash for the second reason of the Beis Yosef, but if you do see a Sephardi squeezing out a lemon, there's what to rely on. Regardless, you are allowed to put a wedge of lemon into tea or water. That's totally fine. That's no issue there. There are bugs. You have to watch out for bugs on the peel. But in terms of schita or in terms of mafarik, no problem. The big heter for schita, next topic, is squeezing fruits onto solids. Right? We've said that the problem with mafarik is you're removing a liquid from the solid. Right, the ochel mitoch solas. If this liquid goes directly into a salad, let's say a pile of sugar, and gets absorbed into the sugar, you put it directly onto a salad, onto some salmon, or anything like that, maybe it skips the stage of being called a mashke, and is actually called ochel, and you're not actually removing anything, it's going from ochel directly to ochel without becoming mashke in the middle, maybe that's not called mifarik. So this comes from the Gemara, Kuf Mem, Dalet Amud Beis, all in Shabbos. You are allowed to squeeze into a kedera, but you're not allowed to squeeze into a ke'ara. What is the difference between a kedera and a ka'ara? Kedera is a pot, ka'ara is a tray. What's the difference? So Rashi explains that the kedera has food in it. The ka'ara is empty. It's just a tray. It's a straight plate or something. So clear with the kedera, Rashi says it's clear that your intention is you want it for the food rather than getting the liquid itself, rather than for the mashka. Therefore, that's not mifarek. It's not mashka mitoch ochel. It's ochel mitoch ochel. Tosfos, Rif, the Rambam, and Chesiod, they all agree to bring this down also. So as long as it's going directly into food, onto this kedera, as opposed to the ka'ara, then you have this heter. It's not considered mifarik. You're not removing mashka from ochel. It's given the status of straight ochel itself, so I'm not actually seen as removing anything. So the Shu'ut HaRash brings that the Rabbeinu Chananel was oser, and he leaves it as a machmir kavol of bracha. So you can see this is going to, we have to figure out how we paskin. Shulchan Aruch brings down both deos. It's confusing when he does this, and they're in two separate seifim. It's always hard. You're reading along. He said that you're allowed to be, the first one says things like Gimel, Dalid. This is in Shin Chas, Sif Dalid. Says you're allowed to squeeze grapes into a kli with food. And he's like, oh, great. We pass them like this. That's fantastic. You read a couple more. You get to Zion, and he says that it's usher to squeeze cooked vegetables into food. And the Ramah says, well, if you hold this way, then that means you're also not allowed to do the grapes thing either. So it's like, wait a minute, 3 seasons ago you told me that it was totally fine. Why are you telling me now that it's usher? Mishnah Berurah explains that the Shulchan Aruch was bringing down this Tov L'Hachmer, this V'Machmer Tavol of Bracha. So what should you do? V'Machmer Tavol of Bracha, L'Maisa, you should be Machmer with grapes and olives. Why specifically those two?
The same thing I did before. right?
Right. We said that grapes and olives were the ones where there was, the Gemara says that if they're d'oraisa, you are able to be making on other fruits because it really seems like Mikra Adin. We would be mutter with this whole squeezing onto salad thing. It was just because of that one Rabbeinu Hananel. We were nota l'hachmir. So number one, Mikra Adin, we paskin, we should paskin. You can squeeze onto a salad regardless, no matter what, even the grapes and olives. But because of the chashash, we want to be machmir. So when you add in the other tzad of, the Gemara says, only grapes and olives d'oraisa, everything else is either asher d'rabbanan or mutter legamri. So you put those two things together, you walk out with a heter, you are allowed to squeeze other liquids, other fruits, other things, onto a salad, not a problem. All right, so even though we said there is a chashash asher d'oraisa for some other fruits, that wouldn't apply with this tzir. When you're putting these two sides together, you wouldn't be choshish for that chomer.
What's the chashash you're doing it for?
Doing it, what do you mean doing it for itself?
Why are we...
You're saying why is Rabbeinu Hananel
there? Yeah, I'm saying why, grapes and olives.
All right, it's generally the Siddur Aizah.
Right here, so why would that be an issue? The mice are squeezing directly onto the salad.
Oh, because the Rabbeinu Hananel apparently doesn't think that that's a real hazard. Maybe, I'm not sure if he explains the Gemara differently, the Kedera versus Kara. I'm not sure why he was out there, but... Since he definitely didn't read the Gemara that way, he didn't think that was what was going on, so we'll only apply that chumrah to the derisas of grapes and olives, but for other things we'll take what seems to be the more mainstream, Rashi and the Rambam and the Rith. They all brought down, Tosros, they all brought down that squeezing onto salads was the correct way to read that Gemara, and therefore it would be okay. Just to remember, this heter is only for squeezing onto a salad. It's not good. It would not work for squeezing into an empty kli. This would mean if you have salmon, you want to squeeze a lemon on, going on directly, that would be okay. I don't know, grapefruit juice into a salad, that would be okay. All these things where you're squeezing directly into a salad, as long as you're not dealing with grapes and olives, you would be fine. Squeezing lemon onto sugar for lemonade, I think this is going to have to be our last topic. Most AOs say that squeezing onto sugar is fine because... we said the lemon itself might be okay. We have two ways of understanding the problem with lemon juice, right? Should have rushed that lemon juice is okay. We just didn't know why. They chose the two svaros. One of the svaros apply nowadays. One of the svaros did not apply nowadays. We said we're going to be machmir. But it's important to realize that we have one svaro that's still backing us up, which says that squeezing out a lemon, even into a glass, is totally fine. So that's just step one. We have that svara, even though we don't necessarily possibly like it, we have it in our back pocket. Number two, most AOs say that this is fine. This is like we just spoke about, squeezing onto a salad isn't considered removing liquid, it's considered creating a salad. So squeezing onto the sugar should mean the lemon juice doesn't have the status of juice, it has the status of going directly into the sugar, it's okay. Chazanish did not like that. He said, come on, stop messing around. What are you going to do with that sugar? You're putting it directly into water and making lemonade. That's obviously what you're going to do. So you can't tell me that squeezing onto sugar gives the lemon juice the status of a food, of a salad, if it's going right into a liquid and becoming liquid again. So we thought that was too much of too much stick trying to pull that workaround, squeezing onto the sugar. Let's be honest, you're just making lemonade, it's going right into the liquid. It still has the status of mashke. So you said the only heter you'd have is if it was refuas tinok, if the tinok somehow needed lemon juice. I guess a very spoiled baby needed lemon juice infused water in order to drink it, but not going to happen often, not going to happen classically. So Ramon passing that since so many posts, number one, think you're allowed to even squeeze lemon juice directly into the cup, right? That was his first side of the Beit Yosef. Then you can also rely on those poskim who allow it at least for squeezing into sugar. So he says you really shouldn't be squeezing directly into the cup. We don't pass them like that, and he did, but it's an important theorem that we're going to use. So when you have that, plus the idea of creating a salad by squeezing directly into the sugar, so those two together you would be allowed to rely on. Mishnah Berurah passes that way. You are allowed to squeeze directly into the sugar and then add that sugar to a pitcher of water and make some lemonade that way. If you really want to be extra machmir, then you can make your lemonade just by throwing in a wedge of lemon and letting it sit, letting it infuse for a while. That would be the best move. Okay. So for everybody, that's like halfway through Dush. There's still a lot of big topics to talk about. Baby wipes is a big topic, making ice, using ice, putting ice in a kli. All these are big discussions within Dush. Milking cows, that's the big Mahajan versus not Mahajan milk controversy, and nursing babies. All these things are under the category of Dush, so hopefully next week we'll deal with them.